morning, everyone. It was a great morning, wasn't it?
Yes.
To worship and just keep our eyes on Jesus. I'm going to start with telling you a story today. Story of two lives in the Bible from the Old Testament. One was a king whose name was Uzziah. How many of you have heard of Uzziah? Yeah? Uzziah is the one, his death actually inspired Isaiah to say, "I see the Lord high and lifted up," when he went to pray in the temple. But Uzziah was a very successful king. He reigned for 52 years. And then something happened in his lifetime. His heart got full of pride, and he offered unauthorized incense in the temple. The result of that was God struck him with leprosy, and he lived out his days with this disease in great pain and shame. What a tragedy. 2 kings late after him, the third king after Uzziah was King Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was also a successful king of Judah. He became king at the age of 25 and reigned for 26 years. This is his claim to fame. He fought the Assyrians. He restored worship in the temple the way that it was prescribed. Huge economic reforms. He was the one who came up with clever military strategies. He's the one who built water canals. And he did a whole lot of good. The prophet Isaiah served in Uzziah's reign and in Hezekiah's reign. Prophet Isaiah served for a long time, for 64 years. Hezekiah had a lot of favor with God as well. And then suddenly he was struck with a disease. He had a boil. They thought that he was going to die from that. But Isaiah said that you're not going to die. God is going to give you 15 years more. Great. And then something happened again. Hezekiah became proud and he began to show off the splendor of his kingdom to enemy kings. What a foolish thing to do. It's like, for example, it's like calling Pakistan defense minister and all these guys to come into our, what would you call, intelligence, or show them all our stuff, show them where we build our satellites, where we do our rockets, where we do our defense. Would that be wise? Not at all. No chance. Okay? And that's what he did. And Isaiah comes to him and says, "What have you done?" And he said, "Now, because of what you've done, something is going to happen. Jerusalem is going to be invaded, and Jerusalem will fall." And he asks him, "When will this happen?" And he says, "Not in your lifetime, afterwards." And he says, "Oh, not in my lifetime." And he was happy with that. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Why am I telling you this? Because with both these kings, you can see that after many decades of walking well, they lost it. They lost it. We can start well. The question is, let's finish strong. So, well begun is only half done. And my topic for today is continue strong to the end. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you that you are with us. Thank you, your word is living and active and powerful. And we pray that right now it will penetrate into our hearts and spirits. No matter how many times we have heard this, that it would come fresh to us, and you will keep us. You said you will keep us strong till the end. And I pray that we, in our on our part, would abide and remain in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Would you help me to communicate effectively, and I pray, open the hearts, our understanding, and our spirits to receive your word, in Jesus' name. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Okay, it says, "So just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So just as you received Christ, continue in Him. You'll find in Christ is a very common motif and theme with the Apostle Paul. He keeps saying, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Okay, you were predestined, you were conformed in His likeness and image. You have been chosen in Him. In Him we have redemption through His blood. So in Christ is a very, very important motive. It appears almost 75 times in the New Testament, and variants of it are over 200 times. With Christ, in Christ, with Jesus, you'll find over 200 times. Why is this important? Paul wrote this letter, as it says, to the Colossians. Did Paul ever visit Colossae? No. Paul had never been to Colossae. He's writing this as a prisoner in chains. But there was a man, Epaphras, who he had shared the gospel with and who came to Jesus, who came to faith in Ephesus. Epaphras is now visiting Paul in Rome, and he is giving him a report on how the church in Colossus is doing. And so he shared certain concerns with him, and the purpose of this letter is to address some of these concerns. Let's look at verse 6, the first part. So just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. Paul was encouraging the Colossian church to hold on fast to truth and not to be swayed by many fine sound arguments, as you see in verse 4. He says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine sounding arguments. Okay? What he's referring to here is the Greeks. The Greeks loved to debate and loved to argue and loved to talk and discuss and postulate different theories and kinds of things. And they were also discussing and debating on why some of their beliefs, former beliefs, couldn't be also merged with this new faith called Christianity, or this new faith in Jesus. And so he was warning them not to be swayed by these arguments. Or even the false gospel that was making its rounds, as we see in verse 8. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive by hollow and deceptive philosophies which depend on human tradition. And he goes on to explain that later, where he says, you know, in verse 16, therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to religious festivals. Okay? So there are two things happening here. On the one side, the Greeks want to include their Roman gods in the Christian belief. And on the other side, the Jews want to hold on to law. Okay? And this is what Paul is warning them against. So how do we receive Christ? He says, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. He's saying, first of all, hold on fast to what the apostles taught you. Be faithful to the apostles' teaching. He said, you received this from men of credibility. Okay? One, and you received the gospel by faith. When you think about it today, we have no lack of choice when it comes to what messages we can listen to on YouTube, on God TV, this, that, and the other. Okay? And we need to be careful that we are not subtly sucked into some kind of false teaching. And one of the ways we prevent that is when we hold fast to the Word. When we know the Word, we are able to then distinguish between what is false and what is true. And so the Colossians were in this danger of mixing Greek beliefs and adding that to their faith in Christ. The Jews were in danger of adding law to the gospel. And the result of that was they were actually subtracting or nullifying the power of the cross. And a good application for us today is, are we in danger of doing that? Are we adding anything to the gospel? Works? Striving? Or are we adding something that's not even there? Oh, it's all grace, brother. We don't need to do anything. Both extremes are wrong. So we need to know who we are being taught by. What is their track record? Okay? You can't find that out when you're looking at the net. What is their life like? It's good to know who you're being taught by. Okay? He's reminding them of their great salvation, because the salvation that we received by grace through faith, nothing more, nothing less. The cross of Christ is complete and it covers everything. I can't earn salvation. I don't deserve it. It is a gift of grace, and this is appropriated by faith alone, in humility as I accept Jesus as Lord. And he says, let no one take away from this great, wonderful work of God. If you don't know what we are talking about today, come and meet one of us. If you have never made a personal commitment to Jesus by faith, not because you were born into a Christian family, but you said, Jesus, I accept that you are Lord. You're the only one who died for me. I believe in you. I confess my sin. And I repent of it, and I ask you to forgive me, and I am deciding to follow you today. If you have never done that, today is a good day to do it and make Jesus the center of your life. We need to remind ourselves that we do not live a life based on rules. We live this life out of a relationship, and that is sustained by deep communion with Jesus. Verse 6b says, continue to live your life in him, rooted and built up in him. The King James says, therefore, you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. So walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you were taught, abounding with thanksgiving. Paul gives us three pictures, if you like, live or walk, rooted and built up. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. How do we continue to walk? How do we continue to be rooted? How do we continue to be built up? All these three imply movement. None of them are static. Walk. In the old English, or old, maybe in the 20s, 30s, people say walk of life. Even the Bible talks about, you know, Abraham walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. What does walk mean? Walk basically means your manner of life. It describes who you are as a person. You know, his walk of life means how he lives, his mannerisms, his behavior, his habits, the way he talks, the way he lives, his practices. All of that constitutes walk of life. What does your walk of life look like? What I have seen over the years is tragically, and even recently, some of these things have hit the news. People who became very famous in Christendom today are not walking with Jesus anymore. Some of them have even denied the faith. They say, I've become an atheist. I no longer believe in Jesus. How does that happen? Some have fallen into sin and say, now I don't believe in Jesus anymore. You've probably heard some recent stories on the net. Okay, famous people. I don't want to name. That's not my intention. Okay, the intention is that we will continue to walk strong to the end. So the encouragement is to continue, and that is not without cause. Okay, because even in the Bible, we've seen, he says, you know, Demas has left me. The love of the world got him and he has left me. He says, be careful in Timothy, he says, for the love of some have grown cold. So that is a fair warning that each one of us also need to take. And to continue also is a very important motive in the New Testament. Some of the ways the Bible mentions it is in persevere in the faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Press on to the toward the goal. Run the race marked with perseverance. Run out the race marked out for us. He who perseveres will be given a crown of life. Do not grow weary in doing good. And so many more exhortations to continue. How do we continue? Paul goes on to tell us to be rooted. Continue to be rooted. When I reflect on this word rooted, I pause and I ask myself some questions. Is my life built on Jesus and nothing else? Is my salvation secure because I have put my faith in Jesus? Is Jesus the rock and source of my life? Is He my cornerstone? That means I am not relying on anything else or anyone else but on Jesus alone. Why are roots important? Roots, as you know, is the source life of a plant. However, what soil is the root taking root in is also very important. What is the condition of my heart? Where am I putting my roots in? Am I putting my roots into the Word or am I putting my roots into the world? That will determine the kind of fruit that I have, isn't it? It'll determine the strength and the quality and the health of what gets built up. You know, I can, as I've said this before, I can polish the leaves, I can oil them, I can wipe them and, you know, all of that. But if I don't take care of the roots, soon the rot is going to show. And polishing the leaves are not going to help. So we need to ask ourselves, where am I getting my values from? What is influencing my life? What is shaping my character? Is the soil that I am growing in, is that the Word of God? Is the Word of God the manure for my heart? Because what I feed my mind with will affect my heart, will affect my behavior, will affect my emotions, will affect my choices, will affect my character. So I need to continue to be rooted in Christ. And that is the best place to be. I know. If you read John 15, it is replete with reminders to remain in Him. As you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain in me. Remain in me. Remain in me. Is a constant reminder. Jesus is reminding us to remain in Him in John 15. The third one is continue to be built up. Now, we've got little toddlers here, right? And I'm sure Rakhi has bought some kind of walking mechanism. Am I not right? Either she has a walker or she's got something that he can hold on to and walk. And we've all done that. You've seen children using a walker? Do they use a walker forever? We've seen Eden crawling and now Eden is running around, right? Does she have a walker? No. There's a stage where she's able to gain balance, stand, walk, run. Correct? How many of you have learned to swim? What aided you when you first learned how to swim? Either you had a float or you had hand floats or you had a thing on your back. Now that you know how to swim, do you still use that? No. How many of you have learned to ride a bicycle? Did you learn with trainer wheels or was your daddy holding the cycle behind? Daddy holding the cycle for me. And suddenly there was no daddy. You know? Oh, what lovely days. And so some of us either had training wheels or we had daddy. But daddy is not running behind us anymore. Neither do we have training wheels. However, when it comes to our Christian faith, Jesus is not our training wheels. Can you say that to someone? Jesus is not my training wheels. Okay? He is not a crutch that you let go of when you can walk. He is the cornerstone of your life. And you never, never move away from that cornerstone. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. For Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We never, never, never move away from Christ being our cornerstone. Our Christian life is rooted and built up in Christ, never without Christ. It will always be in Christ to the very end. And the more I grow in my understanding of Jesus, the more my dependency on Him grows, because I realize more and more that actually apart from Him I can do nothing and I am nothing. That when I am weak, then He is strong. And His power is made perfect in my weakness. Paul said that at the end of his life's journey. He should have said, you know, I am confident. He said, no, I'm no longer confident in anything but that Christ lives in me. Okay? It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now have, I live by the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So we never say, I will always be in Christ. That is my foundation. When we forget this at our own peril and destruction, like King Uzziah and King Hezekiah. They forgot their dependency on God. And look at what a tragic end. After 56 years of a great reign, you lose it. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. May that, God forbid, that should happen to any one of us. So in verse 6, Paul is urging us to continue in certain things in order that we may live out this Christian life. Okay? He's not just saying, be a good Christian. Don't bother with anything else. No, he's saying continue. He's reminding us of the great sacrifice of Jesus. He's reminding us that we've been set free from the law of sin and death. He says, you are now free for a purpose. We have to continue. It's not maintaining status quo. It is moving on. It is progressive from one degree of glory to another. And scriptures also encourage us to build, it says, build ourselves up in the most holy faith. So verse 7 says, built up. Our aim, why? Because our aim is to become more and more like Jesus. To be holy like Him, even to be holy like Him, like He is holy. To do the good works that He has prepared in advance for us to do. Sometimes we preach a partial gospel. We end at salvation. We talk about, you know, what happened with Adam. We talk about the redemptive work of the cross. And we stop there. And I think we are at fault sometimes. Your salvation story only just begins at the cross. Then there is an ongoing, now work out your salvation through fear and trembling. For God is at work in you to will and to do. Okay? There is something we have to do. There is a restoration of our lives. There is a restoration of humanity. Okay? There is a restoration. It says all creation is groaning for the sons of God to come and take their place. That is the complete salvation message. So, as Christians, we are on a continuum of growth, and the overall movement should be forward. So what do I do to grow, to be built up, to be rooted? I'm going to leave you with some things that we need to continue in. Continue to be a learner. Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. Let the kingdom influence your lifestyle. Continue to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. 2 Peter 1:5-7. Okay? Continue to persevere in the face of trials, James 1:3, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and the testing so that your faith may go strong. Continue to dig deep into God's word in sweet fellowship and prayer. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Continue to do good and not grow weary of it. Galatians 6:9 encourages us. Continue to meet with other Christ followers and to be encouraged and to encourage. Do not give up the habit of meeting together, as we are encouraged in Hebrews 10:25. Continue to build on Christ, the cornerstone. 1 Corinthians 3:11. When I do this, I will grow strong, I will grow mature, I will have a productive life bearing good fruits of faith. So to conclude, let us reflect a little bit. What are some of the things that you are doing and that is good that you need to continue doing? And saying these are good habits and that I should continue to do and continue to grow in. Maybe there are some things you need to start. Hey, I've never done that. I've not made daily reading of the Bible a habit. Or I've not made prayer a habit. Or I've not made saying no to sin a habit. Maybe that's something you need to start. What are some of the things you need to stop? Think, hey, this is not God glorifying. This is not helping me grow in Christ. This is not helping me grow in holiness. So what do you need to continue? What do you need to start? What do you need to stop? If Christ was never the cornerstone of your life, make him the cornerstone of your life today. Paul knew that there were times that we would slacken off. There would be times we would feel like giving up. And there are many verses that encourage us to fight the good fight of faith and to press on and to take hold of that for which Christ has taken a hold of us. The best is yet to come for each of our lives. The best is yet to come as we continue to live and to be rooted and to be built up in him. Let us continue then onward toward the finish line, where we will then hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen. I'd like us to end with just a moment of reflection, and then we're going to sing this song, "Christ in Me." And if you're saying, "God, I want to recommit and dedicate my life, and there are things I need to start, and there are things I need to stop, and there are things I need to continue to be strong in," then as we sing, I would ask you to stand as an act of a sign of commitment to Jesus, okay? Christ in me, the hope of glory, Christ in me, bringing new life, Christ in me, the world. This hidden treasure lies on the rand of faith. Jesus, as we go to our homes and back to work this week, I pray that you will be this great hidden treasure, the pearl of great price that we have found and we will treasure for the rest of our lives, that you would be the cornerstone and you will be our all in all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.